Welcome to Heartbeat, the podcast of the Heart Women's Ministry. Heart is a Catholic women's ministry whose vision is to encourage women in their faith, in their life, and in who God's created them to be. This is a place where you'll hear from some amazing women share from their heart to your heart about who God is, what God's doing in their life, and how they're doing their very best to live out their faith. We pray that you are blessed and inspired. Enjoy Heartbeat.
Hello and welcome to our podcast, Heart Catholic Women. It's great to be with you this week. I'm here with Michaela. How are you going?
Good, thank you, Emma. I've got a new drink bottle, so I'm very excited about that.
I was going to comment on the drink bottle. Michaela has been very excited about this drink bottle all week. Every week we go to this exercise class on a Wednesday night, and Michaela hasn't had her own drink bottle. She's had to borrow her husband's, but You can say, what did he do?
Yeah, he surprised me with a Stay Hydrated Frank Green drink bottle, which is very exciting.
And it is huge.
It's, you can hear it. It's massive.
It will certainly last your whole class plus
more my lifetime.
Yeah, that's right. It's huge. So that's pretty cool. I've got stickers on my water bottle.
Oh, and it's random. Kind of holographic. Is that what they call that pattern?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, not as cool as yours. All right, let's get into what we're going to talk about today. Today we're talking about God's mercy and grace. Mm-hmm. Rosemary, in her Heartbeat video this week, spoke about God's mercy and grace, and she particularly focused on the story of the adulterous woman who was caught in adultery and brought out by the Pharisees in front of the crowd, really to test Jesus about what he was going to do about this woman who's been caught in sin. So that's really what we're going to focus on this week, and sharing about what God's mercy and grace is to us. It's a story I think that most of us have probably heard, I think, many times. It's a story where now in society today, you know, when this woman who's been caught in adultery, I often think, well, what about the guy, you know? Like, why wasn't he brought out, you know? But with Jesus' society at that time, men just, well, I don't think it was seen as sinful for him. It was just a different world. So, you know, we can look at that and go, oh, what about him? And I do think that, what about him? And we'll talk about that a bit more soon. But really, that was just the time of Jesus, that it was the women who were blamed for that.
Yeah.
I think the first thing I want to talk about when we're talking about the story is that, I suppose, the characters in the story.
Yeah.
And that's the adulterous woman, Jesus, the crowd, and then the man who we don't ever
hear about. Yeah.
But he must be there. Or maybe not at that scene, but he obviously was earlier. So I suppose in thinking about this story and God's mercy and grace, I was thinking about how each of those perspectives, each of those characters, other than Jesus, we can be each of those people at different times.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
I think what I found quite interesting when Rosemary did the episode was when she was telling the story, and then she said, well, the woman did it. Like,
yeah,
she was sinful. Like I think so often we focus on the fact that Jesus says to the crowd, you know, he who hasn't sinned cast the first stone.
And so we're like, oh, she's forgiven.
Yeah, and she is.
And she is. There's no denying that.
But really, the what's the word? Taking on the like, just owning up to. Yeah, okay. You know what? I did it.
Yeah.
You know, like, God is does forgive us and is merciful to her. But there is that. You know what? She did do it. And I think if I think about myself then as that person.
Yeah.
Times in my life, I have to go, you know what? I did do that. Yeah. I do sin. And then from that, well, we then continue to see Jesus's mercy and grace flow to us. But just that owning up of, you know what? Yeah.
And taking ownership doesn't necessarily need to send us into like a shame spiral. Mm. I think that that was the thing that kind of caught my attention was, oh, she did do it. But that's not us blaming her. That's not us saying like, oh, you sinned. Yeah. Sad for you.
Terrible. Yeah.
It's just, you know, every it's human. Everybody makes mistakes. We're not perfect like God.
Yeah. So that's the first thing I think of. Like, there are many times where I am that woman. I'm mm-hmm. the person who sinned, and I'm the person who needs God's mercy and grace.
Mm.
And then I think of the next people in the story, the crowd, the Pharisees, those who like drag this woman and take her to Jesus and are like, what are you going to do about it, Jesus? You know, this yeah. woman sinned, and, you know, they're making the judgment. And I think about how often have I picked up the stones? So how often yeah. have I been the person who's judged someone else? And I'm ready to cast the first stone, but Jesus would ask the same of me. You know, mm. he who has not sinned, let them cast. I'm like, well, that can't be me then.
Yeah, and I think it's easy for us to look at other people and be like, oh, why are you doing that? And kind of cover it and make it seem like, oh, but we just want the best for them.
Mm.
But really, like, focusing on someone else's pattern of sin generally leads us into a place of sin, right? Because, you know, say something happened within your friendship group, you notice someone did something, and you choose to focus on that, maybe talk about it with other people, that's leading you into a place of gossip
mm.
or a place of judgment. And yeah, I mean, I think that that kind of, it almost leads you to kind of idolize yourself in a way, like putting yourself in God's position.
Yeah.
Saying, well, I know better than them. But if you were truly acting like God, you would love, and you would obviously lovingly encourage them to grow.
Mm.
But not behind their back or anything.
No, like no. And as Rosemary says, like, it was not for the Pharisees to judge. Mm. Like, only Jesus and God are the ones who could judge our actions, because they're the ones who haven't sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So if I think about the story again, I'm like, well, there are times when I'm the crowd.
Yeah.
You know? So I've been the adulterous woman. I've been the crowd. And then I think of, well, the guy who we don't see, the man who mm. she was caught in the adulterous act with, I think about, you know what, there's probably times too where I'm that person. And you think, so what's that person? That's the person who doesn't get caught.
Yeah.
Almost like, you know, how often, or where we're doing things in our life where we're sinful, but no one knows about it.
Mm.
You know, there are things, thoughts we have, you know, the way we treat people, that maybe our friends don't notice, our mm-hmm. family don't notice, but in the world when we're out there, when we kind of, let's say, strangers, yeah. the way we treat those people, you know, I've been that person too, the person who's never caught,
mm-hmm.
but God knows.
Well, even, I'm pretty sure in the Bible it says that they caught her in the act of adultery, mm. right? So obviously reading between the lines, they were probably together, the man and the woman,
yeah.
when they were found,
yeah.
which means that they saw the man there and they were like, we'll just take the woman.
Yeah.
Which means that not only is, you know, is he signifying like, oh, I'm flying under the radar, like I didn't get caught, but he did get caught
mm.
and he didn't get the clap back for it, and he's letting her take the fall.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, I was involved with this, but it's really her fault.
Fault, yeah, that's right. And that's part of the society at the time.
But yeah.
if then we think about us in those positions of times where we let others take the fall
mm.
for sometimes things that we're a part of as well,
yeah,
or, you know, we just don't get caught for. So when you look at the story, I think in all perspectives, as someone who's human, I can be all of those people,
yeah,
but God's mercy and grace flows through to all those people. I know we don't see it for the man who's there, but I think God does give that. Well, he would give mm. that to him as well, and the adulterous woman. And then even the crowd as well. Like, each individual, a crowd is made up by individuals, and God yeah. gives his mercy and grace to all of those. I thought it was interesting, the quote that Rosemary said from Scott Hahn, which was, "The God revealed in Scripture is a father who stoops down to his children and lifts them up to share in his blessings." And I just really loved that, like, that we have a God who sends his son to come down to us
mm-hmm.
to lift us up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just like that imagery of all those actions that God gives to us.
I think it's funny because we can look at that story and be like, oh, we feel sorry for the woman. Oh, the crowd was so horrible. Oh, like, we can kind of place each character within this box, right, mm. of the, like, villain or victim
yep.
that they play within the context of the story. But isn't it funny that, like, even though in this story Jesus is obviously giving an act of kind of a wake-up call to everybody and forgiveness to the woman. But he has a desire to give every character within that story that same forgiveness.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. And then I think, you know, when he's writing down on the ground and then he gets up and the crowd's now dispersed, and then those words of to the woman, like, where are your accusers?
Mm.
You know, go and sin no more. I love that it's just this beautiful grace and mercy given to her that says, almost like Jesus doesn't have to say anything, because not directly about her sin. I'll try and explain myself better. He doesn't have to say anything specifically like, it's still terrible what you did. You know, he doesn't like say it out loud, but it's just by his love. It's like she knows, yes, I shouldn't have done that.
Mm.
And he then says, go and sin no more. And because of that beautiful mercy and love that he shows her, you would want to change. Mm. You would want to go and sin no more. Like that love is so powerful that it causes in her to live a different life.
Yeah.
To change her ways. And that's what God's mercy and grace does to us.
Mm.
His love is so amazing that it would evoke in me a change.
Mm, and I think that even speaks to if there are people in our lives that we are, you know, they're on a particular path and we're like, no, come on this path. This is the right path. I think that can speak volumes into how we react and treat those people as well. Mm. You know, say, I don't know, you have a family member who's maybe doing something that you know in your heart isn't growing them or whatever.
Mm.
I think it's funny because we can be so tempted to be like, oh, you know, don't do this. We try and convince them with our words.
Mm.
But I think you're right in the sense that loving someone wholeheartedly and the way that Jesus would love is enough to change their direction without having to kind of come up with a way to trick them into following us or trick them into going on the same path, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And when I think about it for myself, I can think of the mercy and grace that I feel like I've been shown by God that then wants me to be better and to change the way that I act. I just think the words are so powerful and the love he shows is so powerful. It actually makes me think of times in my life where I've been shown that type of mercy and grace. And I particularly think about it from my mum and dad when I've done something wrong. You know, kind of when you're a little kid and I hit my brothers and sisters, it's like mum and dad would address it, but their love was so much for me that almost as soon as they looked at you and were disappointed in you, that was enough to go,
oh, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. Because their love for you is so much that they're disappointed that you didn't do something right, that you treated someone poorly, that it caused me to want to change, like, you know, and I feel like God's love is, like, powerful. Like, that when we talk about God as our Father. I think of another time years ago when I was in high school and I had an assignment to do, and I had, like, 10 weeks to do this assignment. And the night before it's due, I get home, and what I had to do is I had to build a bridge, literally build a bridge for physics with all these little pop sticks.
Ooh.
And you had to build this bridge, and the goal was to have a brick being able to be held on the bridge, and you know, you pass the assignment if your bridge could hold this brick. I remember going to dad, got home from school 3:30 in the afternoon, like, dad, I gotta build a bridge. And he's like, how long have you had this assignment? I'm like, 10 weeks, you know. And you could see, like, that disappointment of, well, Emma, you've had ages to do this, come on. But then that love and that mercy that he showed me to be like, okay, let's get this done, let's, you know. And I mean, that's just a small thing, but you, as a 17-year-old, you appreciate, and I understand that love that dad showed me to then help me through that when I should have done something a different way, you know. And that's just well, for me as a 17-year-old, it was big. But there are other more significant things in your life where people show you love and grace and mercy, and that really just speaks to me of God's love for us through others. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I like how Rosemary shares with, finishing with just go and live the life you're meant to live.
Mm.
You know, God's got this plan for us.
Yeah.
And through his mercy and grace, we can go and live the life that he's called us to live.
Mm. Yeah. And I would tack on to the end of that, that it can be really easy to be in a position where you've asked God for forgiveness and you don't feel forgiven.
Mm.
But I would just want to say to that, that God would never say no in us asking. So, there's scripture to back that up. If we confess our sins, it's in 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just to forgive us and our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess it, he will. Like, there's no... It says if we confess our sins, he is faithful.
Mm.
It's not... If we confess our sins, he'll think about it and let us know later.
Mm.
And so, the first thing I would say to that is he won't say no. And the next thing I would say is... there are objective and subjective feelings to guilt, which obviously is the same for forgiveness. So real guilt, the only cure for real guilt is real forgiveness, and God gives us real forgiveness.
Mm.
It's real, it's true, it's undeniable, and it's pure, mm. and it's given every single time, no matter how many times we ask. It's not like, we do the same sin over and over again, and God will kind of... be like, oh, I've forgiven you for this 6 times already.
Yeah.
You know, I don't forgive you this time, or I forgive you slightly less.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same never-ending amount every time. So he won't say no. And then, well, if these things are objective truths, then subjectively, that's what my feelings are subjective.
Mm.
So I'm having this trouble feeling forgiven. Then what am I trusting? Am I trusting my feelings, or am I trusting the truth of God? And so the thing I wanted to just tack on the end there is just that don't be afraid to ask God, because he won't say no. Like, him saying no is not gonna happen. No matter how much you try and convince yourself, he's gonna say yes every single time, same amount. Don't worry if it's a pretty big sin or a little sin, same amount of forgiveness, never ending. And to just, I guess, give the challenging question, if you're not feeling forgiven, well, have I fully handed this over to God and asked for forgiveness? And if I have, then am I trusting my feelings, or am I trusting God's truth?
It makes me think of when you go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, there've been certain times when I've gone to reconciliation where I've felt in the waiting, like, sometimes there was a few people in front of me. I remember this particular time, a few people in front of me waiting for me to go into the priest when it was my turn. And in the waiting, the sitting before I entered the room, I felt the weight of my sinfulness and what I was about to confess. And almost like it makes me think of when we started the podcast talking about that owning up to what I'd done.
Yeah.
And then being in there and just feeling that mercy and grace that God gives us through that sacrament. Like, yes, it makes me think of, just that love and grace he gives you when you go to the sacrament, that the priest gives you when he gives you that prayer of absolution. Like, just that beautiful moment of that.
And I think also, like, it really makes me think that when you're in confession and you're giving your sin to God, you're not only giving a sin to him, you're also giving your pride to him, which I guess is a sin. But you know what I mean? Like, the reason why the waiting is like, it's because our ego is like, I failed. You know, I'm not
I didn't perfect. Live up to it.
I didn't live up to the standard or whatever. But once you truly give it to God, it's like, I did humble myself, so now I'm in this place of humility. And I think,
And I like what you said, like, even if we don't feel it, it's that trusting in him with the truth of he does forgive us. All right, so the weekly challenge for this week. I think the weekly challenge for this week is to trust in his mercy and grace, which is tricky, I know. Maybe you can go to a confession if you've got that, you're able to do that this week. You know, it's something that you can do. But just trusting in God's mercy and grace and continuing to go to him over and over and saying, no, God, I trust you. And just knowing that his mercy and grace falls upon us every day.
Worship song of the week.
Okay, so the song for this week, our worship song of the week, is... I'm not sure if it's actually that new. I think it's a little bit older than a lot of the songs I've recommended. But it's called Clean by Hillsong United. It's this really beautiful acoustic number with lots of harmonies. And it basically sings about, yeah, the mercy and grace of God, which is very fitting for this week's theme. It speaks about the way that Jesus is the cause of my forgiveness. Jesus is kind of the center of where I would go when I'm seeking forgiveness, and that he's the resolution to my freedom. So I hope you give it a listen. Hop onto our playlist on Spotify. It's called Our Favorites by Heart Catholic Women, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep, there we go. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
So
what? Okay, now, so what scripture for this week? We're going to look at Psalm 23, verse 6. And it says this: surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this psalm is a beautiful psalm. It's from King David, and he's praising God for giving him peace. You know, before this verse, you might remember it from different funerals or different, certainly, masses and church services you've been to, where it talks about the Lord is my shepherd, this God of peace. What I love about this verse is it starts about off by saying, surely goodness and mercy. That word surely, it's like David is convinced that God will provide him goodness and mercy. It will be with him always. And I think we can just be so encouraged by that, that we have a God who is definite, that we can be confident in, who always comes to our needs. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. If we think about goodness, that's all the provision God gives us. And we think of his mercy, that's just his love that he gives us, and his grace for the things that we know we haven't done right, that he gives to us every day. And then I love the part of it where it says, will follow me. If you think of something that follows you, it goes with you. It goes with you wherever you go. So even if you might not want something, it's there with you. So in times where we maybe don't recognize God, his goodness and mercy follows us, even if we're not noticing it at the time. And I like that. It's like something that's just always there for me. And then it finishes with, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'll be able to continue to praise God. So I'm just going to read that scripture verse again. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the way that I am encouraged by this scripture verse, and it's something we can use every day, is just as a reminder to be confident that you have a God who will provide for you, that you have a God who is merciful and loving towards you, and who's with you always, who follows you everywhere. So I hope that you're really encouraged by this scripture this week, and that you can use it during your week to remind you of his goodness and the mercy that he has for you.
Spotlight.
I feel like even though I'm a few years into my journey now when it comes to faith stuff, and my walk with God, that I oftentimes will have a question and I don't really know how to answer it. I'll kind of go to the catechism. Sometimes it's a bit difficult to kind of unpack in a practical sense what some of those things mean for me. And so this week for our spotlight, I really wanted to shed a spotlight actually onto a YouTube channel called Ascension Presents. They have a bunch of really great presenters. My favorite in the mix there is Father Mike Schmidt. He's an American priest. And they really just find a really succinct, simple, applicable way to really step into the truths of what it means to walk in the day-to-day as a Catholic. And so I really suggest you go check out this YouTube channel, Ascension Presents. And there are videos about everything, liturgical seasons, random questions, all sorts of stuff. So I really hope you enjoy them and eat them up the same way I do.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope that you've enjoyed it and you've got a lot there to think about. I know that I certainly do. For our weekly challenge this week, it's to trust in God's mercy and grace. And a few of the ways you can do that is just by praying and just simply saying, God, I trust in you. God, would you come and be merciful to me? I trust in your mercy. I trust in your grace. Thank you for it. Just saying those kind of words in your prayer over and over. Mm. In your thoughts, as you're going through your day and maybe having times of not feeling so wonderful, you can just, in your thoughts, God, I trust in you. That's the kind of thing that I do often. And then if you have the opportunity, you could go reconciliation and just really get that mercy and grace in that sacrament that God gives to us.
You could also hop into the Bible. God's love and care, I think, is one of the most repeated things said in the Bible in so many different ways, because God knows that we'll forget.
Yeah.
He knows that we'll forget. So he has it in the Bible so many times so that we can just hop in there, and almost any way you read, it's an I love you,
yeah,
right?
That's
so
right. That's cool.
That's a good reminder too.
And then you can follow us on our socials, Heart Ministry for Women, on Instagram and Facebook.
That's right.
You know, if you see our videos up there, our posts, you can comment. Thank you so much to everyone who's been, you know, writing an amen or saying that really encouraged me today. Because that's exactly what we're here for, to encourage you in your faith. Mm. And by you doing that, that encourages us as well. So we thank you for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can listen to our Spotify playlist as well that Michaela updates, which is awesome. So we hope that you have an amazing week, and we look forward to talking to you all next week. Bye.